So I've been out of the pulpit for 5 weeks, so I get a little riled up. Please show me grace if I don't pray for me. But we're going to continue the sermon series motivated by invisible realities. And we've been talking about different characters in the Bible who are motivated by faith. And it's an amazing thing that we are here today and we're here to worship a God we can't see. Yet for some of us, He is realer than anyone we can see. And this God we cannot see, we run our lives according. As followers of Jesus, we cannot see God, but our lives are motivated to follow Him with everything we are, even though we can't see Him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we want to live by sight, if we only want things we can see, if we want to only live by the empirical evidence, we can never live lives that are pleasing unto God. And we have a deep, deep, deep desire in us to please people, to please someone. And we're made as worshipers, so you ultimately want to please God. Now, you will find someone in your life to ultimately please, whether it's yourself, whether it's a loved one, whether it's your parents, or whether it's God. You will live your life to please someone. You will be motivated by pleasing somebody. Today, I want to urge you, for those who are already living motivated to please God, to keep living with that fuel. For those who are motivated by pleasing other things, and you understand, you just keep coming up with this emptiness, and you keep coming up with this restlessness, I want to call you in grace to be motivated first by pleasing God with every motive, attitude, thought, and action in your life. You know, we live in a broken world where it is hard to see evil. It's hard to please people. Has anyone else found people unpleasable, including themselves? Just go home like, I'm not pleased with myself. I can't please myself. I can't do good enough. This person never pleased. Maybe it's in a marriage. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's people you grow up with. Maybe it's a parent. No matter what I do, I can't please them. You know, I sat down with someone this week. We had lunch, and we were sharing our stories and our testimonies. And a major part of him growing up was he said, I could never please my father. No matter what I did, he was never happy. He was always angry. If I had a project around the house, he'd say, come help me. And once I messed up, he'd say, go over, get away from him. I'll do it right. I'll do it myself. So some of us have grown up with that tension. He said his whole life, he was just motivated by that. He would try to perform. He couldn't perform good enough, so he'd go away. And he started to see God in that same manner. He started saying, I can't please God. I can't be perfect enough. I can't do good enough. I just can't do it. I'm trying. I have a few day run, then I fall short. And he would go through these cycles of sin, and he'd try again, and of course he fell short. God is not like our earthly fathers who fail. He is not like those people who are unpleasable. Because this is what God did. This is amazing. He understood that we couldn't live perfectly, so he sent someone who could live perfectly, and that's Jesus. So what I want you to hear today, I'm going to preach on being motivated by pleasing God, but I don't want everyone to go out and try to please God because Jesus already perfectly pleased God. I want you to live in the truth that he's already completed the work, and out of that love that Jesus had for you, so that when God the Father looks at you, he sees the innocence and the purity and the perfect life of Jesus. That propels us to live lives that are pleasing unto God. So let me use some big theological words for you. When you believe in Jesus, when you say, I'm a sinner, I believe that Jesus died and rose again, I believe he's the Son of God, I believe he's coming back again, I believe there is a God. When you do that, you are what you call justified. That means your standing with God is set for all eternity. That's called justification. That means God is pleased with you. You're in right standing with God. Now, we understand the mystery and the facets of the gospel that there's something called sanctification that we work through with the Holy Spirit working in us where we grow in holiness to please God in every day in our actions. Where the Holy Spirit empowers us to grow in holiness. That's why we read scriptures, right? Scriptures say, do not do this because it grieves the Holy Spirit. When you act like that, when you talk like that, when you do it, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And for those who have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you feel that, right? Something changed when you started following Jesus. You got uncomfortable with certain things you were real comfortable with in your life, right? I was like, man, I used to have so much fun. Why does this feel wrong right now? Why am I enjoying this for the moment? And I'm going home and saying, there's trouble in paradise. This doesn't feel right. That's because the Holy Spirit is convicting you. He's calling you. He's holy. So he's calling us to holiness. God does not smile at everything we do just because we're justified. That's not when people say you don't have a license to sin. He does not smile when we sin. He knew we would fall short, but he calls us to walk in holiness. And I want to give you hope today that he who began a good work in you will complete that work. How many people believe that 2 years from now you're going to look more like Jesus than you did the prior 2 years? Because that's the work the Holy Spirit does. Sometimes it seems like it's like watching the grass grow. But I'm telling you right now, as we respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, we will live in ways that we feel God smiling on us. Our Heavenly Father is pleased. You know what? I usually would have threw a right hook on that person, but I went home and prayed for them. Right? Everyone's like, yeah, you know who that person is. You know what? I usually would have gossiped about that person, but something changed in my heart over the past few years, and I went home and I interceded for them. You know what? I would have looked at that before, and I knew I shouldn't look at that. But the Holy Spirit worked in my heart, and now I'm walking with holiness in the covenant of my eyes. See, these are ways that can be pleasing unto God. I want to encourage you, because living in a broken world, having a sinful nature, sometimes you get up and say, I'm just not going to grow. I'm just not going to live in ways that are pleasing to God. I'll never get there. But God is going to get you there, because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So be encouraged. Keep running that race. Keep going forward. Don't ever give up. Because the Holy Spirit won't let you. You're just going to torture yourself anyways. But I want us to learn from Enoch today. Enoch was someone who says he pleased God. Ultimately, you know I'm going to get to Jesus, because that's how every message has to end and begin and be about. But we're going to learn ways, practical ways, where we can please God, where we can live in the grace of God. But hear this first. Justification, you're in right standing with God. Sanctification is I'm working out, walking holy and loving and learning to look more like Jesus in my life. So if you turn to Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6, it's so good to have all this space up here, no railings. It's unbelievable. You don't think so? All right. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And hear this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So let's start off with Enoch. Enoch, if I'm honest with you, is one of my favorite characters in all of the Bible, because even though his story is short, it is powerful and it is transformational. Has anyone watched, I know everyone here watched Netflix, so I don't even have to ask that question, but you ever watched the Disney shorts, those 12 short Disney stories that tell these impactful stories? I don't know about you guys, but my favorite story is the story of John Henry. So John Henry was a freed slave who was building a railroad with a bunch of people who were laborers. They were trying to build this railroad. It was their livelihood. And if they built this railroad, they were going to receive payment through property. It meant he was free. His family, people would be free. All they had to do was build this railroad. He was a big, masculine, burly dude. I like when they do that in the movies. You know, make dudes masculine. And so he's a masculine dude, just throwing down, hammering in nails, running the railroad. But then all of a sudden, technology began to prevail, and they pulled up with this machine that could drive the nails quicker and build the railroad faster. So it was threatening his livelihood. So his people are looking to him as the leader and saying, John Henry, what are we going to do? If we can't build these railroads at faster technology, we have no livelihood, we have no land, we have no houses, we have no life. So John Henry, like any good leader, sacrificial leader, he goes off. He's banging in these nails. He's running the railroad. He's going up against the train. People are cheering. His wife's going wild. And he gets up to this rock. And he's like, oh, man, they have to go through the rock to get to the other side, the promised land. And everyone thinks it's over. They're saying there's no way John Henry can do it. John Henry goes to gear 22 and he rips through it. He comes out on the other side, his people cheer, and John Henry just falls down and he dies in his wife's arms. I'm talking, this was like a 7-8 minute story. In that short, powerful story, we learned sacrifice, we learned leadership, we learned masculinity, we learned new birth. Because you see his wife and his newborn baby sitting on the house in the land that he died for. The reason I share that is because Enoch's story is so short, but it's so powerful, because the things he shows us through his life can impact your life when it comes to pleasing God. It just says right out the gate, Enoch pleased God. What a statement for a life, right? Would you love that, for that to be said on your gravestone? Mark pleased God. Steve pleased God. Cassandra pleased God. Joe pleased God. I mean, if that's just said about your life, you were doing something powerful with your life. So let me give you a little Enoch 101, a little bit more. Let's dive into that. Enoch is early in the game. He's early in humanity. He's about 7 generations from Adam. So you have Adam, you have Seth, you have a few other names that are hard to pronounce in Hebrew. And then you get to Enoch. Enoch is the great-grandfather of Noah. And so in Genesis 5, if you go there and see all his generations, it says before him, this man lived that long, he had this many children, then he died. This long had this many children, died. This long, and so you see the previous 6 generations. Then it gets to Enoch, and it says he walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him. There's something very unique about Enoch. Enoch was one of 2 people that never tasted death. It means his life was so pleasing to God that God took him without dying. It happened with Elijah, too, for those who know biblical history. Later on in redemptive history, Elijah was taken in angelic chariots of fire up to heaven. But Enoch and Elijah never tasted death. And Enoch never tasted death because he was so pleasing to God that God just took him. Can you imagine that? God is just like this. His walk, his prayer, his heart, his mind is so pleasing to me. Get him up here. Get him up here. I'm still asking what his wife and kids are saying. What are his wife and kids saying? This brother went out for a walk. He never came back. But he was so pleasing to God that God took him. So let's just hit a few things that are unique to Enoch's story and powerful. He never tasted death. I got to state the obvious. He believed in the existence of God. So to please God, you've got to believe that he exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Thirdly, he walked with God in a way that pleased God. And fourthly, he was a prophetic in the way of warning people of impending judgment. So I want to focus on 2 of those lessons, and we'll talk a little about believing in God just to start off it and have it premised in that. But the 2 things are walking with God and warning people of impending judgment. So we see in Jude 1, 14 and 15 that Enoch was prophetic too, and we'll get there. But Enoch, I want to ask you, what is your greatest reward in this life? Your greatest treasure? What motivates you to get up? Well, you say, if I only had this, I would have everything. Because that's key in living a life that pleases God. Our desire needs to be to know God above everything else in our life. I want to know God. I want to talk to him. I want to listen to him. I want to be like him. I want to love like him. That needs to be the treasure and the driver and the motivator of our life. When that motivates us and we're motivated to please him, that's what changes the game. Enoch woke up and he said, my main objective of the day is to know God, to walk with him, to talk with him, to listen to him, to enjoy him. Because he believed that God existed and he rewards those who diligently seek him. If you really look in the story, you see that Enoch was rewarded for his greatest treasure. He wanted to know God, and what was his reward? God took him to be with him. The greatest reward you can have is to know God. You were made as a creature to know God, to be known, and that's where your greatest joy is. So let's talk about walking with God. How many people in here love taking walks? It is one of my favorite things in the world to take a walk. I was born pacing. Like, I'd just be walking around. I couldn't stop. I just love taking walks. And I ask my kids to take walks. Sometimes they go, sometimes they don't. I'll be like, you want to take a walk? They'll be like, yeah. And sometimes, nah. But when we do go for walks, I love it. I get to know them. I get to listen to them. I get to laugh with them. We pick out our favorite houses. We look at different birds. We enjoy the weather. A walk is where you really get to know somebody. Now, something interesting happened. You know, being a dad is when your kids are younger and you start walking, what happens with the kids? They're always behind you. You're always like, come on. Stop being distracted by every little thing on the side of the road. Come on. And you're constantly looking back like, get up here next to me. Now they grow up and all of a sudden they're like, what you got? And they're running. And they're running and what are they doing? They're falling. And then you're picking it up like, I told you not to run. Stay next to me. Let's do this. Right? So you have two different things happening. You have either they're running ahead of you, they're running behind you. But what happens when you really get to know someone that, and both people are mature and they understand the purpose of a walk besides exercise and burning calories is you get to walk side by side to look at the person and get to. And isn't that our walk sometimes with God? When we walk with God, we're like, man, I love that. I enjoyed that. Why don't I do it more? But many times, God looks back and says, what are you doing? Get up here. Why are you back there? Get up here. Or then you think you're all that. You figure out a few doctrines. You've been to church 3 times in a row, and it's like, I got this. Who needs to be saved up in here? Right? And then you're falling on your face, and God's like, what are you doing? Get back, walk next to me. I set the pace. Half of our lives, we're not pleased with where we are because we're trying to get ahead or we're behind God. We need to walk side by side with him. Amen? To walk and to please God is to walk side by side, to get to know him. And when you're beholding God and when you're listening to God, when you're praying to God, you become like that. You ever watch father and sons that walk together? They walk like each other. If you've ever seen Roger Colburn and Dave Colburn walk together, you know they took some walks together. You know how Dave got the feet just a little out? Him and his dad just get going. That's because they spent so much time together, they became like each other. That's what we need to do to please God. So I want to give you some 3 practical things. What do you mean walk with God? First thing is, be careful how you pray because people think you're crazy if you're walking and just talking to the air. Keep it low. They call 911 on you and you just say, I'm trying to please God. They'll really throw you in somewhere. So you got to cultivate a healthy devotional life. What's the primary way that we hear from God? The Holy Spirit. Through his scriptures, right? The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. So we need a healthy devotional life where we're hearing from God first. To walk with someone right, you always want to listen to the other person before you want to talk. That's the kind and loving thing to do. You show to listen to someone, show you want to know them. And so we need to have a healthy devotional life to walk with God. We also need to talk to God. And talking to God is just praying. And it's a responsive language. You hear that scripture and you pray to God. You know, like I always use this example, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Maybe you come out of hearing the word of God. You say, God, restore my soul. I'm not in peace right now. I'm restless. You know how I am. You've known me my whole life. Help me to walk in peace. So it becomes this communication and this conversation. I always encourage people to journal. 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 What's the Psalms? It's just a journal from mostly David and other people writing down prayers to God. Take time. And everyone thinks you've got to sit down and put a 3-hour shift in. What if you took 12 minutes a day? Just to walk and talk with God, you would see so much fruitfulness when it comes to joy, happiness, and peace. And let me tell you this, your Heavenly Father, the thing he loves most is to spend time with you. Any good dad, the most important thing is not what they do, it's the people they're with. And he longs to be with you. He longs to hear from you. He longs to know you and walk with you. The second thing is simple, I kind of insinuated it. Take a literal prayer walk. What do we do sometimes when we're real worried and we're anxious? We just walk and say, I got to get some room to worry. And we go out and we worry and we come back more stressed and say, that didn't help. What if we took a walk and said, I'm going to pray to my God. I'm going to walk. I mean, my favorite times are like, you know, when it's the sun setting. Just walk around, you know, Wakefield and enjoy that time. Take time to walk and to talk to God. Talk to him about how thankful you are. Talk about how you need to grow. Talk to him about questions you have. Lord, can you answer this? Why is this happening? Help me work through this. Help me grow in this. Father, pray for others. Like, a walk in that way. Take a literal walk and do that. And the third thing, I'll give you good news. You're already doing it. Walk with others. We come here today to walk with God, to hear from God, to worship God, to give to God, to care for one another. My favorite thing is the family walk. I love the family walk. It only happens so often, but when I get the whole crew out, it's a good night. We all get to spend time together. We all get to rejoice in God's grace to us. And so we're doing that right now. We're walking with God together. The second thing is, and this is a tougher one, because you can't be a people pleaser. You have to be a God pleaser in order to do this one. Warn people of impending judgment. Sound fun? Yeah, go home. Warn people of impending judgment. Enjoy yourself. I remember my mother, high school, I brought one of my buddies home junior year. We're walking through the living room. She's like, did you tell OD he's going to hell? And I was like, no, Mom, I don't think that's what we were talking about junior year. You know, let me stop everything. Joe D, you're going to hell. Let's get in the car. Like, I'm not saying do that approach. But I'm saying if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and you believe that anyone who does not put their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ does not have their sins pardoned, therefore will stand before God and receive the punishment that really all of us deserve. We all should get punishment, but by faith we become pleasing to God in the person and work of Jesus. If you believe that someone who doesn't put their faith in Jesus, if they died today, that they wouldn't be pardoned for your sins, is it loving not to talk to them about that? Right? Is it loving not to talk to them about that? And don't fall under the assumption, everyone's like, well, I got to know them for 6 years and we've got to be comfortable. You'll never get comfortable if that's your mentality. Get to know people, love people, sit down. I'll give you an example. I was getting to know this guy. I really met him down at the gym. His daughter goes to the same school my daughter goes to, so we spend a little time together. He believes in Jesus, but he also has other philosophies that we're working through because those philosophies contradict the Christian faith. So it was like an all-inclusive. We went up to Rockport and just to walk, talk, grab some lunch. And we ended up, so ridiculous. If this being filmed, it was ridiculous. We're on this wall. The waves are hitting there. And his wife is a professing Muslim that's working through what she's believing in. And so his two kids are deciding, what do we believe? Dad's a professing Christian working through what he believes, and mom's a professing Muslim working through what she believes. What do these two kids, what do we believe? So it's just like, you know, pick who you like that day. And I'm out on this wall, and I'm saying, do you understand the implications when it comes to you and your family of how your family looks at the person and work of Jesus Christ? And I'm passionate because I love him. And I'm saying, you've got to see this. It's not just you pick and choose what you believe. We don't make God in our image. Don't buy what they're selling you on that street. And I'm saying, you don't understand. Jesus came so the world didn't have to be condemned, could be free. All you must do is believe that Jesus is what he says he is, and he did what he said he would do. And I'm urging him, and I'm loving him, and he's talking back to me, and we're working through this. Waves hit the wall. We had lunch. We talked passionately and loving about it. And a few weeks later, I don't know where he stands now. That's between him and God. But he said, you know, I still remember that conversation we had on the wall. I didn't say, how did you decide? He said, I still appreciate that. I think about that. And I've been in the Word of God. And so it made him hunger to seek. Now, I could have just had lunch, said nothing that would have caused anything to seem like it could have, you know, we disagree on something. But if I truly love him and I believe that his faith matters, his family faith matters, then I will allow myself not to be liked. I allowed myself to be offensive at times in love because I care for them. And when we do that, that's pleasing to God. Because you might just picture Enoch, right? Pleasing to God, he's just memorizing poetry, reading stuff, walking through some woods when no one is and birds are chirping. Enoch was prophetic. He warned people of impending judgment. Because when you spend time with God, when you realize the gospel, when you realize love, you realize if people don't repent and come to Jesus, that they'll be under the punishment of sin. And when you love people, you start warning people. People that don't warn others love themselves more than they love others. Do you guys hear that? That's tough. It's hard in this world where everything is like, just don't offend everyone. Everyone is really sensitive. But remember, Jesus was so offensive that they pinned him to a cross. And we're followers of Jesus. And they murdered him because they didn't like what he had to say. So with that, the two things, walk with God, that's pleasing with God. We talked about some practical ways. And warn people of impending judgment. Now, calling them into grace. You don't do that just to make feel, I got him, I warned him, he's all messed up now. No, you warn them because your hope is that they repent and they put their faith in Jesus. That's the hope. And finally, now we're talking about Enoch. You might think Enoch is great now. A man so pleasing that God took him. But Enoch pales in comparison to Jesus. He pales in comparison to Jesus. You can't put into terms, really. I was thinking of this. I'm going to try to put it into human terms. But Enoch, he's high on a human scale, right? Like, but Enoch, he pleased. He's the top of us in this league. Jesus is in another league. Enoch was a sinner that Jesus needed to die for. If Jesus didn't die, Enoch would not have been redeemed. If Jesus didn't fulfill the promise of the coming Messiah, there's no freedom for Enoch. Enoch needed a Savior because he was a sinner like me and you. Now, he might have been more pleasing the way he walked, talked, and thought, but still, when you put him next to the King, when you put him next to the greatest, he pales in comparison, he bows down, and he worships Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus, I mean, human terms are tough because Jesus is so great, I don't even want, it's hard. So if Jesus, gymnast, he'd get a 10 every time. If Jesus was playing basketball, his man never scored. Like when I cover Bugsy. Man never scores. And he hits every shot, 33-year career. Jesus, now think about this. I want to ask you how you do. When someone treats you wrong, what's your average on cussing them out? You like 5 for 10? You 3 for 10? You go out, come back in like, I ain't finished? What's your record? What's your average? Jesus was 1,000%. Every time someone spitefully used him, he prayed for them. Every time someone did him wrong, he forgave them. Every attitude, how are your thoughts? Every thought, every meditation of his mind was pleasing unto God the Father. He walked so in constant with God the Father side by side that he never even sinned. And that had to be accomplished in order for us to be saved today. If Jesus fell once, there is no redemption and no power in the cross. But he never fell once. He was perfectly pleasing unto God the Father. Therefore, we can be pleasing by putting faith in him. Amen? Now, I was doing a devotional with my daughters last night, and it's the Ten Commandments. And so you read through the Ten Commandments. And hopefully, when you read through the Ten Commandments, you realize that you're a sinner. You don't say, man, I got a good average, 7 for 10. You say, man, I'm a sinner. If I haven't committed these things outwardly, I've committed them inwardly. And the thing I wanted to explain to my daughters were, listen, we are going to fall short. We're going to have wrong attitudes. We're going to treat people wrong. We are going to fall short of many of these commandments. But know this. God understands we're going to fall short, and that's why he sent Jesus, who was perfectly pleasing, so that we could be perfectly pleasing. So hear this in closing. We've all fallen short. That sets the back frame for the good news. We're all a mess. We've fallen short. We've sinned. Jesus needed to die for us. He outed us on the cross. That means we're all filthy sinners. That's the backdrop for his glory. Then Jesus steps into the frame, and when you see Jesus, you see perfection, because he is the greatest. So we have been justified by the work of Jesus. now we are empowered by the filling of the Holy Spirit where we can walk in ways that are pleasing to God. So today, hear that. Because I know all of us are sitting here today and there's something we're saying. This is not pleasing unto God and I need to grow in this. I need to grow in this. Be encouraged. The Holy Spirit is going to sanctify you. He's going to complete that work because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.